She's amazing. We truly do honor you, Joyce, and you're awesome and such a legacy of faith. It's just Jesus. I love that you always point to Jesus. It's you and Paul. You've always just pointed to Jesus, and that's what makes it you're such a shining example to me. And so we love you and just thank you. And so good to see you today. Amen. Awesome. Well, I have the privilege of welcoming up my brother. And this is really cool because I was talking with Richard over the last few weeks, and I've had some messages in my heart about community, about unity, about serving, about forgiveness, about all these things that we've been discussing over the last few weeks. And there's some messages and some themes that have kind of been resonating in Richard's heart and as well. And so he's going to kind of piggyback off of a few of those things and kind of take it into some other directions as well. But we love Richard. The Lord has brought Richard and Grace here and for such a time as this. And he's brought Dominic and Danielle for such a time as this. We're so blessed and that they're all here to sow into our house. And so would you welcome our friend Richard Lawson.
Thank you. I'll get my water. Fresh squeezed. When you were talking about the MyPillow guy, I was wondering if the MyPillow guy ever hung out with Dutch Sheets talking about the comforter. What a place of rest. Oh, I couldn't resist. And Mike, when you said that the future's bright, he really means it. Because his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And everywhere we go with his word, we have a lamp at our feet and a light to our path. So of course our future's bright. It's written in the book. And we know the author. Oh, he's good. So let's pray. We bless you. We bless you. Oh, you are awesome. We come up around your throne and we lift you up that you be exalted. Thank you for your word. Speak to us through it. Build us up as your bride. Beautify us. Draw us to yourself. Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. So Mike, 3 weeks ago, Mike spoke on unity. Do you remember that? Yes, right on. Unity is really important. Then last week, 2 weeks ago, he spoke about serving. Serving is really important. But you know where they join, where they marry? Unity and serving, marry and surrender. I was processing this because what he was speaking about was really relevant and personal to our lives at the time. And as I was chewing on it, he reached out and said, hey, do you have anything on your heart? And I said, hey, here. Yeah, look. Surrender. Unity. Serving. Jesus. So as I process with this, I continue to surrender to the Lord and say, Lord, you have me here to share something because Mike asked me to share something. So I'm going to share something with you because I'm here. Okay? But what I share, I don't want to share of my own accord. I want to share what he wants to share. Because he's the best sharer of them all. And look, it's sunny, so I'll share. That one just happened. So, last night, as I was processing, I brush my teeth, I get ready for bed, and then I walk in the room. Hey, love, where's my journal? The Lord's showing me something. I got to write it down. It's in the bookshelf. Oh, yeah. Makes sense. So I get the journal, and the Lord just downloads this really cool little thing. And so you'll have to follow my hand examples because I don't have a whiteboard. You just have a white guy. So, unity. So picture unity right here, the word. And serving right here. Now, underneath unity is oneness. Right? Because we have to have oneness if we're having unity. It makes sense. Underneath serving is others. Because we're not serving to just do it for ourselves. We know that's a dead-end road. We serve others. So you have unity. Oh, wait, hang on. Did I do that right? Unity and oneness, serving and others. And then they meet in the middle with the word with. So you have oneness with others. Oneness with others. And then underneath that, oneness with others is community. You're doing this together, where you serve each other in unity. And in community, there's communion, right? Communion. We're together. We do this together to honor Him. So then, underneath the unity, am I on the right side?
Yeah.
Okay. It's opposite on my paper. Yeah. Underneath the unity and the oneness with the community in the middle is giving. Oh, sorry, is selflessness. So you have unity, oneness, and selflessness. Because to have oneness, you have to have selflessness. You can't be one with everybody when you're being a selfish goofer. Goober, I meant to say. I'm glad nothing else slipped out. Goofer. Then you have the serving, the others, and the giving. Because you're giving to others. When you serve, you're giving to others. You're giving them things that cost you something. Like David said, Lord, how far be it for me to give you something that didn't cost me anything. All things have come from you, and of your own we give back to you. Okay, so my giving is a sacrifice. I'm giving of my time. Now, I could go work with that time and make more money, or I could go spend time with my family, but I'm going to give my time for this cause, that we might have community and serve in unity. Are you tracking so far?
Yes.
Thanks. So the unity, the oneness, the selflessness, the serving, the others, the giving. And it all marries in that beautiful word of surrender, which is a very common thread in this terrific book. Surrender. Surrender encompasses trust. To surrender to the Lord, you trust the Lord. You trust that He has your best interests in mind. You trust that when He says it, it will happen. You trust that, okay, you are calling me to come to you, but you're walking on the water. That's crazy. Doesn't make any sense. But you said come. Okay. And then Peter, had the coolest testimony of all of them. You know, I imagine guys. Remember that time I walked on water when you were sitting in the boat? Man, tell us again. What was it like, Peter? It was like jello. It was so cool. How cool, he got the testimony. He trusted the Lord and he stepped out and he walked on water. Nobody else got to do that. I've never done that and I want to do that. I'd love to walk on water. There's a story from a ministry I heard a while back where there was a group of villagers in Vietnam that were believers. I don't have a reference point to the story, but I'll share it that you'd be encouraged anyway. That it was this group of villagers. Here comes the conflict. But there was nowhere to go because they were up against like a marshy body of water. And so the people in their humble faith just said, well, he walked on water, let's go. And they followed and they walked across this marsh, on top of the marsh. Now, I don't remember where I heard that story from, but I remember it was a powerful, it was somebody that was important, you know. And they usually tell things that are true. I hope. So you've got serving, others, giving, meeting and surrender. Unity, oneness, selflessness, meeting and surrender. Now, are you ready for some stuff? Okay. Surrender requires vulnerability. Yeah, really. Amen. But we, and that's contrary to our human nature to be vulnerable, right? We like what we like because we like it. And we want what we want because we want it. And if I do something wrong, I don't want to tell you because I want you to like me because I like being liked. Right? Okay. Vulnerability leads to intimacy. Now, intimacy is a beautiful thing. So from surrender, surrender requires vulnerability. Vulnerability leads to intimacy. And intimacy leads to life. Look at the example of marriage. When we surrender and submit to each other on a honeymoon night, for example. I'll keep it PG, don't worry. It requires vulnerability. Is she going to laugh at me because I have a mole on my back that grows hair? I don't know. I'm just going to... Vulnerability. But that leads to the intimacy that we then get to share in. And the intimacy as God created it was Him and us. And that brings life. Just as you see in the marriage example, life is created in that intimacy. So now I have this whole diagram on the paper. And I'm like, wow, this is really cool, Lord. Thanks for unloading or downloading this or uploading this. This is great. And then so I connect the line from life to unity. And then life to surrender. Or sorry, serving. And it's a heart. Cool. It's love. Love is unity and serving in community with surrender. Of selfless giving and surrender to the Lord and surrender to one another in the Lord. And it does require vulnerability. It does require intimacy, but it brings forth life in every one of us. Does that make sense? Okay. Maybe one day I'll print it out and I'll share it with you. Yes. Then I'm sitting there processing, well, this is really cool, Lord. But if this is all what love looks like, then it has to look like you, Jesus. So then guess what? It does look like Him. Because in unity, Jesus prayed that for us. And I'm going to read you some passages from a really good book. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and I have loved them as you have loved me, that they be perfect in one. Unity. His prayer for us is unity. His heart for us is unity. Look at, you have Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit, and the unity that they share is so dynamic that an entire universe was created by words. Earth, moon. He hangs the stars on nothing and tells them to stay. He spins the earth on nothing and tells them to stay. And then he says, and then just do this around the sun a couple times a year. Okay. Wow. Power and unity with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Number two, the serving part, which was on this corner, I believe, right? Yes. Thank you. Correct me if I'm wrong. Jesus serving. Just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And He is my example. You see, in His life is our example. His birth is our significance. His life is our example. In His death is our redemption. And in his resurrection is our hope. I stole that from somebody. His name was Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. But he didn't go by Abednego because his mom said people would confuse it with another word. So Shadrach Meshach Lockridge said that. But that's true. So Jesus came to serve. He came to serve. He's my example. Wes, He's our example. Joe, He's our example. Ross, He's our example. Mike, He's our example. He came to serve. Well, what does that mean? If He's our example, that means I must serve. We must. But is serving valuable unless it's done in unity? When you serve in unity, there's life. When you serve just to serve, sometimes that it's derived from the selfish desire of, you're going to say I'm a good person because I served. Awesome. Then Jesus, or then Paul writes, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Wonderful. We serve together as Jesus gives us the example to do it. And as we do it, it edifies ourself. Who is ourself? It's us. And who are we? We're the bride. And we're a babe when we're in unity and when we're serving. I mean, we're so hot that he's up there on the throne saying, oh man, Father, can I go and get them? Does that make sense? Okay. When we serve together in unity, in community, in love, when we're giving of ourselves as he gave of himself, back to that selfless part. Selflessness. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. So now it's no longer, okay, I'm used to living my life and doing what I want. That's right. Now it's, oh, I got to deny myself now. That's a really hard thing to do. It really goes against the grain of living in this fleshly body, right? We don't like selflessness. Right. And we typically don't like giving because it costs us something. The rich young ruler came up to Jesus. Hey, good teacher, you're awesome. What must I do to follow you? He says, don't commit adultery. Don't covet your neighbor's things. And he lists on some other things of the law. And the rich young ruler says, oh, I've done all of those things. So check mark, he did the good things. And then Jesus says, okay, now you lack one thing. Go and sell everything you have and give alms to the poor. And then come follow me. Oh, Lord, though, I have a truck payment. I got this really nice flat screen TV, and I have all the channels, Lord. My couch is really comfy. Lord, I got a fridge full of everything yummy. I went to Costco last week. I can't just leave now. It doesn't make sense. See, the rich young ruler wouldn't give up. He wouldn't surrender. He wouldn't surrender. So when all these things, when I said they all meet in surrender, it comes down to surrender and trust. Surrender to the Lord. If the rich young ruler would have left everything and followed Jesus, there would probably be a book in the book with the guy's name on it. Bob. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Bob. Like, because the stories of Bob would have been great. But we missed out on that because he wasn't ready to surrender. I understand, though, it's hard to do that. It's hard to let go. It makes a great song for Disney movies. Becca sings it really well, and so does Patrick. To surrender. Oh, my goodness. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all he has cannot be my disciple. We were speaking, Grace and I were at a church in Southwest Australia in a town called Dunsborough. But it was spelt a lot longer than that. All these silent letters. And that was this message of surrender was what was boiling out. Surrender. Surrender. Oh, trust you. Okay, you're a man of your word. You're a God of your word. And I shared at that moment it was, imagine. Okay, now you guys get to do this with me. Imagine. Here we are in Church on the Mountain in Crowley Lake, California. And in through the door walks the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's Jesus. And he walks in and he's stoked. He loves us. And he says, guys, I got some more outside. Let's go. Follow me. Oh, man. Into the unknown. We wouldn't know where we were going. If he said that, if he actually walked in the door, would we actually get up out of our seat in the middle of church and disrupt it? Would we get up and leave our cell phone? Would we get up and walk away from our wife and our kids or our husband? Would we get up and just say, oh, yes, it's you. It's you. I will follow you. So in Australia, after that little exchange, this guy walks up and says, well, I own like six or seven, or however many he said, six Subway sandwich shops. He said, I wouldn't give them up. I still want to follow Jesus, but I won't give up my Subway sandwich shops. Subway's not even that good. No. And it's only six shops. No, Subway is, it's tasty sometimes. So the guy was really honest. He was vulnerable, saying, I wouldn't do that. If he was actually here and said, follow me, I wouldn't do that. Yeah. And you know what Jesus would say to him? I love you. I love you. That's okay. When you're ready, you can come. And if not, I still love you. I've got great plans for you, by the way. They're higher than the heavens. That's right. My thoughts are greater than your thoughts. But that's okay, I love you. And I'm going to love you right where you're at. And I'm going to love you so much that my love is going to cause you to change and be transformed. Oh, Lord. So guys, for us, would we be willing in times like this to say, Lord, whatever the cost, wherever you lead, whatever you want, I'll do it because I trust you and I'm willing to give you every part of my life. My finances are yours. My car, it's yours. My wife, my kids, they belong to you too. I love them dearly and I'd miss them if you said, follow me and walk this trail. But I hope I would do it. I would want to do it. But we know that would be so tough, right? Oh, what a challenge. Vulnerability. So from surrender, it requires vulnerability. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Vulnerability is okay. I am taking off my yoke, my identity, my value system that I derive from everything in this world, and I'm placing it at your feet, and I'm putting yours on me. Oh, wow, it's surprisingly light. Oh, it fits me great. That's what I'm meant to wear. It's what we're meant to wear, the yoke of the Lord. As a kid, when I read that, I thought, man, Jesus likes sunny side up eggs because his yoke is easy. And then as we're singing these songs in church, he is exalted. Oh, he likes his eggs salty and he likes them runny. Exalted. So in case you're wondering what's going on, I grew up under power lines, but Jesus has saved me. But it's true. So vulnerability. The surrender requires vulnerability. Vulnerability is we come to him and say, it's no longer me. Didn't one of our best friends write that? I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live. It's Christ who lives in me. You're not appalled that I said best friend, are you? Okay. I know. So, the surrender that requires vulnerability, that leads to intimacy. And here he is in Revelation 3:20. We know it. We've heard it. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in with him and sup with him and he with me. Oh, come on. Intimacy. Live right here. Dwell right here. Sup with me right here. Be a part of me right here. Every part of my life. I want you in it, Lord. Take my brain and all the nooks and crannies, all the doors that are closed and the doors that are halfway open that I'm halfway willing to surrender. Take it all. You can have it all. Here's all the keys. Take it. And guess what? And then he says, we'll sup with him and then he'll sup with us. That's cool. The king, he's inviting himself in and saying, I'm here and I'm here for you. How cool. Intimacy. And then intimacy, remember the example of marriage, it brings life. I have come that they may have life, and that more abundantly. We know the first part, the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And Jesus says, I've come that you have life, and that more abundantly. So we have life in him. And it's rich and full when it's surrendered. It's better when it's surrendered. His plans are better. His ways are higher. Remember, he says it to Isaiah. So for us as a community, surrender. Serve. Surrender. Be one with each other. Feed each other. Jesus said, I'll eat with you and you can eat with me. Invite people over. Get to know them. Invite your neighbors over. Get to know them. Jesus was all about food and the table. Invite them over. Get to know them. Not with the purpose of, I want you here so I can get you saved. But I want to invite you over to get to know you, and I'm going to love you, and I'm going to love you, and I'm going to love you. And is there anything you need? Because we want to bless you if you need it. Because we want to show you the love of Jesus. Look, there's a lot of people that live around here. It's a lot more doable here than it is down in Los Angeles for us. But what if we take on that challenge where we serve in unity with our community and live vulnerably to foster intimacy, to bring life, that His kingdom would come and His will would be done. He was all about life. You tracking so far? Okay. That was all I had on my diagram. Now I have a story for you. I touched on this briefly a while back when sharing a while back. I don't remember when now. In Malaysia, I was in a free hotel waiting for a flight to go to Uganda. And I didn't have any money. I didn't tell you the bigger picture of that story. And I want to, so that you be encouraged. I was in Malaysia because friends from Carlsbad happened to be in Malaysia for a global youth pastor summit. These were youth groups that were, I think the minimum size youth group was 1,500 people. Big youth groups. A lot of kids. Yeah. I mean, the guy that led the church that had like 3,000 middle schoolers, he was bald, he was gray, but he was bald, he was gray, he was stressed, I'm teasing. So I went to meet my friends, and I got to sit in on the conference. None of them knew that I had $6 to my name, and I had no credit card. Because when he says to follow me, it was, okay, I'll just go. You make a way. They invited me for breakfast, lunch, and dinner at this conference. I got to sit in with them. And they invited me to stay at this nice Hilton hotel. Wow, cool. They have no idea I'm broke, but I have everything I need. One night after the summit ends, the last night, I'm sitting in this hotel room, and there's this new guy that I don't know. And he looks Persian. Turns out he was Persian and is Persian. His name, I shall call him Fred. I can't use his real name, and you'll hear the story of why. So Fred had just come to know Jesus, and he says, hey, I know how to do all the sound system stuff. I'm really good at electronics at the church. Oh, here, we need your help. He just came to know Jesus. He jumped in to serve. While he was serving, he got to be a part of this big youth pastor summit. So he became friends with a couple of the guys in the room there. And he walks in with a big mustache, and I had a big mustache, like Andy in the back. And he said, hey, great mustache. Yeah, you too. Hey, where are you from? Iran. Whoa, cool. I'm from America. So we start talking. The guy that I was there to see, Willie, I was supposed to meet him in Uganda the next day. Willie was flying out the next morning. I wasn't. I had $6. Carlos, our other friend, was flying back to Brazil, where I was supposed to go later. But I wasn't flying then because I had $6. And so Fred sits there and short circuits for a moment. Hey, wait, you and Willie are supposed to be in Uganda tomorrow and you don't have the flight? You're crazy. Yeah. Well, how are you going to buy it? You should look right now before the flights go up. Oh, don't worry. And then Willie told him the story. Hey, he just prays and God provides the flights. And this guy, Fred, starts to short circuit more. What? So now the backstory on Fred. Fred grew up one of the wealthiest families in Iran, related to the Shah. He grew up literally with food being served on silver platters and driven around in Rolls Royces. He studied to be a jihadist imam. He taught me later how to build a suicide bomb vest. I said, no, I don't really need to know that. But he said, no, Richard, it's a bomb. Oh, gosh. It's a bomb. So he grew up studying to be violent. He served in their military, which was compulsory. He told me about how he'd shot rocket RPGs at U.S. troops, how he shot all kinds of stuff, and how he, because of his status and his family, ran a third of Iran's entire internet infrastructure and electricity. So this guy is very brilliant. He's a smart guy. I think at this point he probably has 2 master's degrees or 3, maybe a PhD in there too. This happens. He's shooting RPGs. He's running the country. He's just, you know, got everything he could ever want. He's got silver platters and Rolls Royces. And then he had a friend, and the friend was Jewish. The friend, he said, people that are Jewish are very rare to find in Iran, and you can be Jewish in Iran, you just can't convert from Islam to Judaism. So he had a friend, and the friend got arrested, and he tried to use his political and the weight of his name, the sway, to get this guy out of prison. And they said, no, well, so you're on his team. He said, no, I'm not converting. He didn't do anything wrong. He already was a Jew, and he still is a Jew, and that didn't change. So they threw Fred in prison. What the heck? Here's this guy that's got high authority and power. Now he's being tortured and beaten in the prison. But then the family discovers this, and so there's all kinds of upheaval that happened to get him out, and he's got a very rich story. So he says, I've got to take a break from this place. It's crazy. He flies to Malaysia to go get his second or third master's degree. I don't know. A lot of education. While he's there, he sees that there are Christians. Malaysia is a very Muslim country, and you'll notice that. They even have the Muslim symbol on their flag. Very Muslim country, but there's Christians, and it's okay to be Christian there. You're not persecuted. And so he's thinking, what are these people doing? He sees these happy people going to church. He finds, I'm going to go to see what they're doing too. He walks into church, and the first day he goes in, he has a radical encounter with Jesus and gets saved. And a week later, he's doing the soundboard. They don't know that he was running a third of Iran's electrical and internet grid. And he's masterful at the sound. So then they say, can you do the conference too? So now I fast forward back to the story. Here I am talking with this guy who's tripping out that I don't have a flight and I'm supposed to be somewhere the next day. He's a very calculated individual. I said, Fred, the Lord told me to go. So I just believed him. I didn't have any money. He brought me here. I didn't have a place to stay, but I do now. I didn't have any money for food, but I do now. And he said, what? So then this word faith and trust started to open up. Surrender to the Lord started to open up. So then that night, we talked till late in the morning. Everybody else leaves on their flights to go to the places they're supposed to go, and here I am still there. You're crazy. What are you? Wow, that's faith? Wow. Jesus said to go. I heard it clear. I wrote it in my journal, and then I believe he's going to take me. And as it turned out, I went to sleep and woke up, and somebody here in Colorado, had sent me $1,350 randomly and said, hey, the Lord put you on my heart. I feel like you need this for a flight. Whoa, rad. Okay, I booked my flight, $1,345. So then I had $5 for the taxi. Fred heard this, that I made it. We had exchanged contact numbers on multiple different SIM cards because that's what you do when you have to travel. He called me, you made it? Okay, wait a minute. How can I meet up with you? This is crazy. It's the Lord. He's faithful. He's never going to let us down. David even said, I was young and now I'm old, and one thing I've never seen is a righteous man forsaken, nor his children begging for bread. And we get to walk around in his righteousness. I've said that before and I love it because it's true. So, Fred, he gives up his life to follow Jesus, and he decides to jump in. Okay, like Peter. Fred's the Peter that I know. He just jumped off the boat. I'm going all in. Now my family wants to kill me. Seriously? They wouldn't want to kill you? Yep. I have 2 uncles that are in the Revolutionary Guard, and they're generals, and they want to kill me to fulfill Sharia law. Oh, what? Yeah, God's faithful, right? Yep. Okay. So, wow. He said, I've been cut off from my family. My dad doesn't talk to me anymore. He lost everything. The Rolls Royce, the silver platters, status in the country, that he could never, ever, ever go home. And even here, he can't even use his real name, Normal. Like, he can't use it because there are people that are seeking him out because of his status in the country, because he converted to follow Jesus. He decided to go all in. So now here's Fred in Singapore. He comes to visit us in Indonesia when I get to Indonesia later. Fred, he said, I have no home. I have nowhere to go. I'm a transient, and I have an Iranian passport. Nobody wants me to visit their country. I don't know why. Well, we know why, because he used to make bombs. So Fred stays with us for a bit. We connect him with the ministry there. Fred just falls in love with serving Jesus and falls in love with this faithful God. In fact, we had this revelation together that God's name is faithful. And if his name is faithful, that means we can surrender. If he's faithful, then I can surrender. Okay. So I'll speed it up here. Fred's called me multiple times from multiple countries because he had to bounce around. Always by faith, God provided his flights too. And he called me one time. He said, Richard, I'm in Singapore. It's so expensive. It's $6 for a can of soda. I have one dime to my name. I really want to go ask somebody for some money. And I said, oh, Fred, let's pray. Lord, would you supply all his needs? And that night, he ended up getting invited to house sit in a house. Out of the blue. Not a normal thing like, hey, you're Persian. Come house sit for me. He gets invited to house sit. Whoa, rad. And he calls me, I'm eating chocolate bonbons in their freezer. This is amazing. So for years, Fred was homeless, stateless. He couldn't do anything. He couldn't go anywhere. He couldn't tell people his name. But he trusted God to take care of every need. And guess what? I can tell you today that God is taking care of every need. In fact, God connected us with a stoner skater down in the beach, whose parents are worship directors at a big church in Texas, who are good friends with Louis Gohmert. And so they ended up connecting Fred with Louis Gohmert to get him a visa to move to the United States for safety. Now Fred lives in Nebraska. Yeah. Yes! Nebraska's slogan is the good life. It's like there's corn everywhere. It's the good life. And now he's got a job. I think he's getting another degree or something, but... Yeah, their state slogan is the good life. So Fred made it here by the mercy and grace of God. He trusted, he told me when we were overseas, when he was like, I don't have anywhere to go if I could just get to America. How are they going to let you in with your background? But go figure, he got a visa faster than my wife got a visa. Like, an ex-jihadist imam gets approved, my wife gets denied twice. What? Look at her. She's so sweet, you know. She doesn't look like a terrorist. Anyway, all that to say is surrender. God is faithful. God is faithful. We can trust him. We can trust him. So we should surrender to him. And when we surrender to him, we can do that in unity as a community. And we can give our lives and what we have, like what was written in the book of Acts, that to distribute to each as anyone has a need. So if you're ever hungry, come by. We have food. If you ever need anything, pray and let's worship and let's ask the Lord and let's see that thing fulfilled. Community, unity, serving, vulnerability, intimacy brings life. He has life for us and that more abundantly. Finally, one day, hopefully Fred will come up and visit us. So you might be able to meet him. And when you do see him, you can greet him with a hello. And then he'll get really excited and he'll greet you back. Sorry. So, all of that being said, we are blessed to be in community with you. It's fun getting to know y'all. We get to do life together that others would see the love of Jesus in us and want it too. We have a big mission to fulfill, a big commission to live, right? Amen? Amen. Okay. So with that, I'll close. You want to come up and tickle the strings? Thank you for listening to the serious message about the goodness of God. Trust Him and surrender. So, Lord, we love You. You are worth trusting. And when You said that to Isaiah, that the heavens are higher than the earth and Your ways are higher than ours, and if You are actually the God that sits on the throne in heaven, then we could get rid of everything we want and just follow You, because we know that You'll take care of everything for us. See, if Your ways are higher and better, that means it's okay to surrender. And when I want something, I can make a plan for Your word says the mind of man plans his steps, but the Lord directs his path. But Lord, if You change the plan from what I'm pursuing, help me to be okay with that. It's okay to have a plan changed. That just means You've got a better plan. It's okay when something doesn't work out, because God's got a better plan. Remember, our future's bright, for His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank You, Father, for the promises of Your word that are true, that are for us, that are faithful and timeless and true. Thank You, Lord, that You never fail. You never fail. And You'll never fail as we trust You and surrender. You'll never fail as we dive into unity, community, and serving with You. And as we give, Your word even says, give, and it will be given unto you. Pressed together, shaken together, distributed, You'll give back. Lord, we love You. Help us to trust You. We believe You. Help us in our unbelief to step into these next levels of faith. We ask that You move in our community. Thank You, Lord, that Joe and Ann, they've got the Aspen Springside covered. Thank You, Lord, that Patrick and Rebecca have the Mammoth part covered, and they've got a team up there too. Thank You, Lord, for the lights that You take from this place and disperse all around the Eastern Sierras. We love You, Jesus. Be glorified. Amen.
You please stand. Thank You, Lord. Oh, we look to You, God. Who can melt the hardest heart? Speak life into my soul. Who can spin the world around? Hold me ever close. Who can search the depths of me? Love me to the core. Control the world I see. Walks me through it all. No one but my way with grace. Love me through my darkest hour. A thousand
life, oh, he is my song. You are
gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You are good. Faithful God, that you are faithful to your children. Thank you that we can trust you, that you are faithful to each one of us. Lord, we give ourselves to you. Have your way in each one of us. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. If you need prayer, just come to the front. There'll be people to pray for you up front. Have a great week. We'll see you next week.